Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thabiseng Dubazana is here. We're looking at all legal matters. And we can take your calls as well, 086-000-0959. WhatsApp notes on 063-688-0959 is where you can send us those voice notes. And you know, and Thabiseng, every time you're here, the one thing I get from many, many people is like, yo, Thabiseng, what is this?
It's like, not the intention.
Like, we didn't know. We didn't know. So, I'm happy you're here. Even as you stress us, we're very happy to be schooled on many of the issues. So last week we were discussing
maintenance and pension funds. I think the part that left us hanging was the one where, but we didn't go deep into the pension funds part. We stopped much on the getting money from the grandparents.
Yes,
that's where
everybody was. Everybody was like, what? What?
So I was saying that before we go to the pension funds, these are the steps that we need to follow when there's an order and all of that. And then I mentioned that part of the things that are available to the person that holds the maintenance order, usually it's the woman, but there are very many cases actually whereby dads are the ones that are claiming maintenance from the mom, because they are the primary caregiver of the child. So if for whatever reason, like you mentioned last week, either Ntabiseng decides that she's going to resign and then collect all her money so she doesn't pay maintenance, there's a maintenance officer who can do all of that to go and investigate and stop those monies. So I think I did mention this last week, that there's a case where in a gentleman actually did exactly what you're talking about, and then the maintenance officer, I investigate, found out that Ntabiseng, when she resigned, she put money into Pamela's account.
They do that also.
Then Pamela's account was also frozen.
They did that also.
You know, so those are the steps that happened before. So
they pretend to be poor.
Exactly. And then thereafter, if Vele Ntabiseng, let's say she didn't try to be all fraudulent and all of that, Ntabiseng chose to not go and tell the maintenance officer that, listen, I am struggling. That's another thing that people should do. Please go and see the maintenance
officer. Present yourself. Just be honest, right?
Yes.
So can I just ask a quick question? So the man, or whoever the other parent is, because it's not necessarily always the man, decides to pretend like they don't have money and are playing games.
Yes.
The court then moves to the grandparents.
That's correct.
If there are no grandparents, how does it go? Does it go
to
the siblings? And so what then happens at that point?
The Act provides for the grandparents. It does not say that your siblings have the obligation to take care of your child. But it does say that the paternal or maternal grandparents have that obligation to take care of your child. Very interesting, but that's basically how it is. So the way that we would find out that Ntabiseng doesn't have the kinds of funds or monies or is playing around, obviously, is by virtue of, firstly, you need to submit your 6 months bank statements to the court. And the longer this matter goes, when the first month or two passes, you need to resubmit again so that we can see what is happening in your bank statements. You can't rely on bank statements that are 2 years old when a lot of things could have changed in the interim. So we work off of that. And obviously your ID number is already with the court and all of that, so they can do their own investigations there. If it comes out that Velek Anete, you don't have anything to support this child, the next step is to now bring in the grandparents. They do. They go through the same steps.
Guys.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
It's not okay. But it is what it is. So the grandparents now have to submit their pay slips if Bansabasibiza, because there are some grandparents who are still working. And if grandparents Bahola Sasa, they also need to submit in their bank statements or their Sasa accounts, whatever the case may be, to see how much are they getting towards Sasa. And if we now, because the way maintenance is calculated, remember what we spoke about this some time back, that if you are residing with four people in the house, inclusive of the child, when you fill in the maintenance form, if bond is 8,000 rand, you divide 8 by 4 so that you can find out who rena, if the kid was of age, how much would that child pay? Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily a thumbsuck of an amount to say that I want 10,000 rand for maintenance. You need to show what you do per month that is accompanied by the invoice, pay slips, your statements, the likes. So everything you put in there, even if the fourth person is your helper, you include that person as a calculation and you divide it by four. Right? So that amount under the child, the quarter, that amount is what we're going to be working on. And the way that the court looks at it, it's that, okay, that quarter that we're looking at is now sitting plus minus, let's say, 15,000 rand, because we're including entertainment, holidays, shopping, lunches, all of these things, everything, motlakase, Wi-Fi, all of these things, we're including it in that quarter. Divided by four, it's 15,000 rand. From that 15,000 rand, now we look at your income and expenditure on both sides. If you, as the one claiming for maintenance on behalf of the minor, is actually earning more than the person from whom you are claiming maintenance, please be mindful that that 15,000 rand, you may end up paying 70% of that. So in other words, from that 15,000 rand or 10,000 rand, because math is not my strong suit, so you end up, he might end up paying 3,000 rand and you take 7,000 rand to pay from that. So in other words, you can only get 3,000.
So if you staying with the child,
yes,
ne? Staying with the child, because you, that's the reason you are claiming. If you are the one staying with the child, are claiming maintenance from the other spouse, ex in this case, but you have much bigger financial muscle than the ex.
Yeah.
You're saying you are going to end up, you may end up taking more responsibility.
That's correct.
Because you have anyway the financial
muscle.
That's
correct.
So it may not be in your favor.
Very much so.
To be claiming, especially if you've got the financial muscle.
A good majority of the time, we always say, parents, try and resolve the issue of maintenance between the two of you. Don't bring it to court. Because what you are likely going to get is less than what you were hoping for. It is a very high chance, rather, that you're going to get less than what it is
so
that you're claiming.
Just
for.
To be clear, that you are staying with the child does not necessarily mean you are the one who's the winner.
Correct.
In terms of getting the money. That's
correct.
Basically the point.
That's correct.
And if it means wangala, and you want now the child to stay with the other, so be it. But you're still going to pay.
That's correct. That is very correct.
And that you're staying with the child doesn't mean that you're absolved from pay.
Correct. Correct.
You see? Because people sometimes think, nah, better ki munke wana. Ay, suga.
Hai chinchi leto. You're still going to pay. That's the bottom line.
So, the idea that you're taking the child because you refuse to pay doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
You still must pay.
Yes.
Because you've got the money to pay. Because the child must still eat.
Yes. Must still go on a holiday. Must still watch Netflix. All these things.
So,
that's what we look at.
This idea that you're going to punish the other because, I'll take the child and make her pay.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Even if she doesn't have the money.
That's
no, it
correct.
Doesn't work like that. The court will make the one with the money pay.
Yes. The one with the stronger financial muscle is going to pay more.
And taking the child doesn't mean that you're not going to pay.
No.
No. Guys.
Not at
this
all.
This is hectic. Okay. There's a case that someone asked me to ask you about.
Yes.
I'm sure you've seen the case. It's everywhere. The case of a video taken of an employee, Li Mutuahae Wangaka, throwing things everywhere at the office. It was captured on CCTV camera. And what happened is that the workers, when they got back to the workplace, they found Dinale needles everywhere on their desks and everywhere. Then they asked for CCTV cameras to check what happened here last night. Yes.
Okay.
What happened here last night? Then they found, no, people were busy here last night. It's all captured on camera.
Yeah.
The workers have decided they are no longer, they refuse to go back to the workstation. Mm. They refuse to work because what is happening here?
Yeah.
Legally, what rights do those workers have and how long can they stay it out for?
Legally, yes, they have the right to not work because it is deemed to be an unsafe work environment, yes. Right? Besides everything else that is attached to it, the workspace needs to be conducive for the employee
for
conduct. Exactly. Wow, bon. So it's now incumbent on the employer mm-hmm. to ensure that whatever happened there is dealt with timeously in a manner that's going to be satisfactory to both employer and employee. So they have the right to do that. But now when it comes to the traditional or the alleged buloy that would have happened there.
Because here's the thing. Who's to say the place is ready?
Exactly. So this is now, we're now looking at the...
Who's to say the place
is ready
safe?
For you to come back and work?
Because safety in what way? Because there is
the spirituality,
there's the
here.
Element of what you can see, and then there's the belief
of what
of people believing it's not now safe.
Correct. So now we would look. I think we'll be looking at Section 86. Yeah, I think it's Section 86 of the Employment Equity Act, wherein part of the reasons that make things 118. Things that are automatically deemed to fall under the umbrella of unfair dismissal form part of that is spiritual and religious and cultural beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So if people choose not to go back to work,
yes,
because the belief is that
the
based
place
on
is
things
not safe.
That, then bakopa hore, please bring quote unquote a counter action that can deal with what we believe has been tainted in this area.
And the reason
it can't
this
be denied.
The reason it's a difficult one, right, is that in the group of, let's say, 10 people, first of all, they all agree the place has been contaminated. All 10 of them.
Yeah.
They all agree unanimously the place has been contaminated. However, not all 10 will agree on the remedy.
Correct.
Right? Because maybe all 10 don't believe in the same thing.
Yes.
And so one will say, no, what I heard. Others are saying, no, sanitize the place. Mm. That's what others are saying. Others are saying, no.
Rappella mo.
Do more. Others are saying, tsamobata dikgogo.
Chisampepo ka mona.
Others are saying, never. Rabatla kgomo mo. Others are saying, nix. I'm not sure about you people. I want my own person to come and deal with the space. So obviously these are now 10 different ideas,
yes.
and belief systems.
And possible responses to the situation.
When I come back, we'll continue with this conversation. And I really would like your take on this one. 086-000-0059. Did you see this case, by the way? And I'm sure many people have had similar cases. You can also send us a voice note on 063-688-0959. We were talking about that case lots of you saw on social media videos of, it was CCTV videos of what I presume to be Ngaka Sangoma, who was performing rituals with somebody else at the office, and the employees of the office in the morning found sort of what looked like needles all over, and then they were horrified. As for CCTV images, and this is what they found. And as I was saying, the issue here is that I'll say, for argument's sake, there were 10 of them.
Yes.
And as I said, they all agree something happened here. There was evidence anyway. But 10 of these people don't agree on what has to happen now for it to be deemed safe,
yes,
to go back to work. Because as I was saying, the workers decided they're not going back to work because this place is not safe.
Yeah.
And there are levels to the safety thing. Others said, no, babatla sanitizer. Which is easy.
Yeah.
Others are saying, no, I want my priest to come here. Someone else says, no, we want another kind of cleansing. And so it goes. Mm. Another person says, no, I want ngakayak. I don't even trust you people. I want my own people to come here. And so it goes.
Yeah.
So where do people draw the line? Where does the employer draw the line here? And what rights do the workers have?
Well, like I said, the rights of the employees are guaranteed within the LRA and within the BCEA and the Employment Equity Act. But they also are limited. And especially in a scenario, the one that you're painting, it cannot be that we're going to
and then
today or Sunday
and then
and then you know what I mean. So it cannot be to that extent, but it would have to be a meeting of minds. The employer now would have to now. I say meeting, guys, I cannot go through 10 different rituals for 10 different individuals, but all of you are satisfied.
The problem, though, Ntabi Singh, is that you then go into the murky waters of one belief system trumping others.
This is why there has to be a meeting of minds. So if there is no meeting of minds, this is now where, as the employer, you now look at your code of conduct. What does it say?
I don't think Kaya has a code of conduct. I haven't seen it. A code of conduct that deals with spiritual well-being. I haven't seen it.
But there is in the code of conduct where it talks about safety at the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
So if all else fails and you guys cannot come to an agreement of any nature in terms of what cleanliness is in this situation,
safety.
Go to the code of conduct. It's your guideline. If the code of conduct says that safety means X, Y, and Z, has X, Y, and Z been met, then yes. Now, as the employee, you have no reason to not come back to work. Should you not come back to work now, it would be your AWOL, your absent without leave.
Can the workers take this further? Because, as you're saying, if the code of conduct talks about safety in the literal sense, the employer got cleaners to come in and sanitize the area, and that's that.
Mm.
And you guys really feel that's not good enough. That's not good enough. Can this be taken up further?
No, I don't see how you would be successful, because you would have to prove that it was intentional on the part of the employer to discriminate you against your spiritual or cultural beliefs. You would have to prove that there is such a law that existed within the workplace, and already we know that, I'm sure 100%, but I'm sure maybe someone has thought of it somewhere in codes of conduct. But in terms of Schedule 8, not Schedule 8, Code 8, in the LRA, you have to show that a certain practice was a norm within the office. So if you're going to take it further, what are you going to rely on? But if you want to take the individual...
Would you have to then show that it has been done repeatedly?
Correct. Correct. This is something new. So in terms of taking it through the labor courts,
mm-hmm.
I don't see any way you would be successful. In terms of the criminal courts,
mm-hmm.
I had a case many, many moons ago. The lady was accusing her neighbor, her Wamuloy.
Mm.
There is an act that actually speaks. It's called the Witchcraft Act.
Yes, there is a Witchcraft
Act.
Yes,
yeah. Hasn't been repealed or anything of the sort.
Mm.
So the state looked at that. We were able to mediate it. You know, charges were eventually withdrawn. But I'm saying that there is that avenue that is available to people in the terms of the criminal route. They can look at that. But if it is... I wish I saw the video. I just heard it on the news. But if it is a situation where...
Never be worried. I've got you covered. I've got you covered. We'll make sure in the break that you get to see the video. Don't
if it was scattered everywhere, then maybe all 10 can open
everywhere.
A case.
Yeah, this is the thing. This is the thing. And the thing about disciplinary processes, they take long.
Yes.
And they don't owe... the explanation to the workers.
Mm.
It is between the employer
Correct.
And the employee.
Okay.
And if that disciplinary hearing ends up with the employer choosing to keep the employee who was responsible for this, what then?
There's nothing they can do. There's absolutely, it's within the rights of the employer to decide what they need to decide.
Or the employer can just decide, you guys, it's not a thing.
It's not a thing.
This is a very important person. Or disability. And the employer just and the employer just complies.
Oh
so much just apply compliance.
Disability.
maybe they did the job, you know, and so there is no hearing. The employer just so much says, okay. Let me take a quick break. I'll be back with more in a short while. Listen, you can send in your questions, okay? Any other legal questions while we show Thabiseng the video and we continue with this legal conversation until 10. Okay, so Thabiseng, I think, has pulled herself towards herself. Thanks so much for staying with us. 086-000-00959. Any legal question, it's for free, folks. She's here until 10. So you can pose your questions. You can also send those voice notes on 063-688-0959. Are you okay?
I'm fine now.
So now you know what we're talking about.
Yes.
Now we know what we're talking about. So we were still saying, if the decision by the company is to not let go of the perpetrator, this individual, do you then at that point have recourse? In other words, the element of cleanliness has now been taken care of, safety.
Mm.
It's fine. They've done what they need to do. But there is still the concern that this individual may do this again or whatever the case may be. Does the collective have the right to insist on the dismissal of this employee who did all of this?
No. Remember that the employer is now also bound not only by its own code of conduct, but we also look at the BCEA, the LRA, the rights of that particular employee, the perpetrator in this situation. So if the sanctions attached to, you know, defying the code of conduct, that particular section is a verbal warning, for example, they cannot now just skip all the way to dismissal, because when that particular employee refers the matter to the CCMA, they're going to say the code of conduct says this. At best, I would have accepted a written warning, even though the sanction for my first offense, if it's a first offense,
so it
is
doesn't
this.
Take into account how grave the mistake is.
No, well, yes,
or the offense is.
To a degree, if somebody, mm-hmm. I know I'm dealing with one matter now wherein somebody unfortunately passed as a result of people's negligence.
Yes.
In that scenario, the CCMA upheld the company's decision to have these people dismissed, you know?
If for whatever reason, Thabiseng, someone decides that because there are also disputes in the workplace and so on.
Mm.
If someone, one of these people in time, not necessarily now, comes and says, I believe, I don't know whether I'm sick or whatever the case may be, is as the direct result of what happened at that time. Are there grounds for that individual,
No, I don't see how that would stand, because it is a belief. It's not something that you can prove. That's the unfortunate part about the law. It's something that needs to be proven. Even when you're claiming for future damages.
So they also can't then request the dismissal of this employee because they deem this person unsafe to work with.
They can't ask that.
Because if you then go that route, you would then have to say, well, there's a video to prove that this person is whatever, or poses danger to us.
Yeah,
that's not enough grounds.
It's not enough grounds, especially depending on what the action itself was. In this situation, we can see Mutu uhasadinto on the table, wasebeza, whatever way, but is it a danger that is physically toward you as an employee? If the answer is no, then within our safety regulations, then that person has
never
broken a law.
Not if I find CCTV, Mutu Ali busy, mo. No. Because, I mean, I just imagine the person who's supposed to be sitting on that desk at that particular point. You can see with the camera, there was plenty of time. Whatever was happening there.
Mm.
I just wonder if they don't have grounds to say, I really, really don't feel safe. Whatever the belief system.
Yeah. You, as an individual, if you don't feel safe, you have a right to resign. But you can't force the employer to now terminate somebody else because of what your belief is.
What then would the employee who feels like they're the victim? What can they request for protection Is there anything they
in
can
this
ask?
Scenario,
they can
I don't
ask
know.
The employer to do to protect the space in general,
or be moved from this particular department to another. Mm-hmm. I don't want to leave, but in this particular department, can I be moved and continue duties in another one, where in this particular individual is not here, or being, you know, stuff like that. Mm. Work it out with the employer to see which way can be helped in this scenario without either you putting the employer in a difficult position to try and dismiss this person, or you being placed in a position where you're forced to work in an environment that doesn't make you happy in any manner.
You're a loser either way.
Either way, yeah.
And as you said, this person, I mean, they can just, they're saying here they were suspended.
Yeah.
But they can come back,
they
disciplinary
can.
Hearing, and nothing happens. Everything's fine. Best case scenario, they get a warning and that's it.
Yeah. Unless also, because they're bringing somebody who's not working within the
building.
Yeah. They brought somebody there outside working hours, etc. Depending what kind of code the employer has
access,
with regard to
trespassing.
That. Yes, all of that. They can open charges of that, because I'm thinking you could even go as far as saying that we don't know if you stole anything. So just now it's housebreaking with intent to do what we don't know, you know, all those things, by bringing somebody in the property without the consent of the employer, and especially when it's not within the working hours. So there's room for you to work.
There is. I just want to go back. I see that there is an X coming through here, based on the conversation we just had about maintenance. And this particular person is asking, okay, so in the event that we're saying that you do not have grandparents to pay on the ex's behalf, what then happens?
All right. So there's no grandparents. Then now we look at, it's now a criminal charge as well. Remember, failure to pay maintenance is also a criminal charge. So they can put the matter into criminal court, wherein over and above an inquiry that's going to be held in the criminal court is going to be evidence that shows that the order says that Ntabi Singh must pay 1.5 per month. We can see into Ntabi Singh's account with XXXX account number. Now, I'm looking at Ntabi Singh's account number. We can see for the last 6 months there hasn't been any payment. So in such a situation, either one of two things happen in criminal court. Either the matter is postponed for a few months for you to catch up with the area maintenance, mm-hmm. and then the charges get withdrawn, or you're going to be convicted to a period not more than 3 years, with an option of a fine. But if you can't pay maintenance, most of the time you can't pay a fine. So it is up to the person who's hearing the matter to decide what kind of sentence you are going to face. Alternative to a criminal
sentence.
Yes, sentence.
As in, if you are not forthcoming, because it's a criminal matter.
Yeah.
You're not forthcoming, you have not explained yourself, you're not paying.
Yes.
You can get a sentence to
Correct.
Go to prison.
Correct. Not exceeding 3 years. Yeah, it's 3 years. Because I don't think they've increased it to 5 years as yet. I could be wrong. But I know in district court it's not more than 3 years. Yeah.
To sit in prison.
To sit in prison for failure to pay maintenance. Yeah.
Ludwig. Don't say we didn't tell you.
That's why it's so important. Her financial status, how it changed. Go to the maintenance officer yourself. Because if you don't, prison is coming.
Yo. Okay, that's quite something, because I'm not sure people actually ever consider the fact that you could find yourself in prison.
That is correct, yeah.
With a criminal charge.
A criminal record for that matter. So if you seek employment or you need a criminal record.
Okay, we've got a voice note coming from Renee, I think.
Good evening, ladies. This is Anonza. Just a quick one. In terms of maintenance, so in cases where the father is married in community of property and then banale joint income, and then nake atlamola with my single income, and then you hear stories, no, I can't afford, kanakweo, I'm just being reasonable. Like, there's nothing out of the ordinary that I'm demanding. Kidilotse di needs sangwana, kam kodiling katengi, a ka inflator, nothing. And then what does the law say in terms of joint income. Can they enforce the other party to help with the maintenance funds? Or ribereka byang baholo thusangle?
So there has been a case. I don't know if the outcome is out or I haven't followed up on it, either one. But exactly what she's saying, wherein the parties were married in commuter property and there was a request wherein the spouse of the other of the parent who's not the primary caregiver to contribute towards maintenance. And she objected to that, saying that I have not taken on the legal obligations of this child, i.e. I haven't adopted this child. Both mom and dad are still alive. They are still holders of parental rights and responsibilities in terms of Section 19, 20, and 21.
And she, of the relationship
Act.
Is?
She is the she's the stepmother.
She's the one that's employed.
She was the one that was employed. They were both employed.
In other words, the father had an income.
Yes.
Had an income.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So they were both, the father remarried, he's employed with his, yeah.
So in this instance, this new couple married in community of property.
Yes.
And the spouse says, not my problem.
No, what was happening is that the ex-spouse would claim a maintenance.
Yes.
The and then the husband in this matter was saying that I cannot afford my salary because of my new obligations. Right.
Yes, I get you. So the Mr. New Marriage with his new obligations tells the court he cannot afford because he's got now new obligations, new family and
yes.
I'm saying in this new arrangement, he's married in community property. So the spouse in the new arrangement is saying, not on my watch, nah.
Correct.
It's not my business.
Yes, yes, because now the applicant, the mother, the ex-spouse or whatever, was now saying that because it's a joint income, can we look at the other spouse to do that?
To help your person to meet his obligation.
Yes. So the maintenance court said they do not have jurisdiction to hear that. I remember it was referred to the High Court. That's why I'm saying I'm not sure what the High Court. I'll actually go find out and come back next week to see if there was an outcome in that case.
That's a very interesting case because... You can, it's almost like evading tax.
Mm.
You can overcommit yourself to avoid, if that works, to avoid paying your previous obligations. So in other words, you can decide that 60% of my income is going to go towards my new fancier house.
Mm.
My new children family are going to go to a private school. So I do actually on paper have bigger responsibilities left with very little for my other child.
True.
And then you can get away with it because you now have bigger responsibilities.
Not always. The court has seen that people actually do that. Once they get a maintenance application served on them, what they do is that they run to the banks to go get the loan.
Yeah, they spend more.
Yes, so that they can see like, more. they've got a lot more.
They have no excess money.
Exactly. The court has made them sell assets. You say you can't afford because you just got a BMW. Return it. And I want proof of you've returned it. You say you can't pay maintenance because you just got a house. Return it. Go and rent.
Your new children are going to a private school. Your other child is going,
going to public. Yes. The maintenance court has ordered that.
Yeah, okay. People laugh.
Change her lifestyle, Yahao, and make sure you accommodate this child.
Does the court insist that all your children should have the same quality of life?
No. Doesn't say quality, but they should receive maintenance. You know what I mean? So
No. In the sense that the applicant I'm not sure if that was the case with the applicant. The applicant's logic may be, well, if my ex's children now are on medical aid, the new family, and this child I'm left with here is not on medical aid, surely the court must understand equally, I want the same comfort for my child. Does the court look at things like that?
No, it doesn't look at things like that. The court looks at the kind of lifestyle that the child is accustomed to. Remember Section 7, even though we're talking about maintenance, but I'll refer to Section 7 of the Children's Care Act. The court looks at a consistency, like
stability. So don't change how the child was accustomed to living. But in that instance, Tabisa, you can also argue,
yes,
mother has gone back home, living with other uncles, grandmother, other 100 children in one roof.
Yeah.
Father continues to live in the fancy
life of luxury,
right?
Yeah.
Is that grounds for the mother to say, well, actually, They have not catered for my child to have the same standard of life,
correct,
of living?
That scenario, yes, 100%. The father will be obligated to pay a higher amount. And in that situation, you can hear that mom's financial state is a lot less compared to dad's in that scenario. But also, what you're saying, that you now go back home. The problem is that, remember how I said maintenance is calculated? We're going to divide the expenses by the number of people in the house. And then the contribution, Yangwana, to that is lessening. Do you get what I'm saying?
Never. So if I find myself going back home, Malume and Banaba Hai Baba Extra, my sister and Banaba Hai Baba Extra, and. What's owed to this child, my child, lessens because return. Not concerning the court. The court doesn't concern itself with the fact that her lifestyle has been disrupted.
Oh, of course, those things come into play. Every case is dealt with on its own unique merits.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, on paper, the way that, when how fit to the maintenance officer and you fill in that form, you are living with 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
If contribution, grocery is 6,000 rand divided by 10, that 10th is what your child would contribute if that child was an adult, on paper. So all you need to do is, when you come to court, you now come with the parts that are not calculated on paper and inform that this is how dire the situation is. But the court starts, for the first instance of looking is that maintenance application and the calculations. In actual fact, instead of 15,000,
give 5,000
rand.
Wait. Child X.
Yes.
Used to go on play dates, right?
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
I'm getting you.
Child X had their own room,
and
an iPhone, and. Child X went on holiday. Mother has never worked.
Yeah.
Mother is forced to now go back home. And you're going to tell me that the court is going to say, we're going to calculate the maintenance according to the fact that you've now gone home. And of course, the lifestyle at home has never been above a certain level, right? And of course, no one works here. So actually, the grocery costs are low because no one works.
In that scenario, if it was a situation of divorce.
Yes.
Then it's a different ball game altogether.
Nearly fatensit.
Don't do it. Don't do fat and set.
I get it's already happened.
I
moved to Sandton, right? I moved to Sandton. You promised me the world. I had a child with you. Okay? You made me move from home and I went to Sandton and lived with you and we had a child. We just never got married, but we've been living together. And you gave us this life. I now have to go back home.
Yes.
So what must then happen?
That's your fault. Remember, we've talked about fat and scent in detail.
Why am I getting hot?
This is now where the Provident Fund issue now can come in. Because the child has a claim against the Provident Fund, in terms of Section 37, capital letter D of the Pension Funds Act. You can make a claim against the Provident Fund for future everything, your maintenance, but make sure you have a maintenance order in place. For the estate and deceased estate, the child has a claim against dad's estate and whatnot. When the mother, you've got problems. You'll figure yourself out to know what's happening. But unfortunately, the father and said situation makes it difficult for the child to get the lifestyle that they deserve.
This consistency we're talking about.
Yes, because that wasn't part of the marital relationship.
And so the child will get the portion of the 10 occupants in the house.
Basically. But, like you said, we can always, when we argue in court, we bring in other information that is not in the calculation, that is written on the piece of paper. We can prove that for the first 5 years of this child's life, when I can, I don't know, those expensive schools, and the lifestyle changed when dad left.
Mm-hmm.
In that situation, you can argue in front of a magistrate or a judge to say, even though I wasn't employed, even though it was a fat and sad situation, even though the child here is the
problem. He had looked after the child well.
So I would like the court to consider making sure that this person continues. And then you invoke Section 28, dear, the Constitution, very nicely to just put a ribbon over that, which is the right of the child to all of these things. So it is important to make sure that when you decide anything about your life as an adult and you decide to bring a child into this situation, know what these consequences are going to be. And part of them is this that we are discussing. Fat and set is a problem. And it causes a lot of things in maintenance courts, in children's courts, because people assume after 6 months, or is it 3 years, I don't know what the time frame is these days, but I'm a common law wife. There's no such thing. It doesn't exist.
Yo, Tabi saying thank you. We'll see you next week. Thanks, guys. We'll be back tomorrow at 8.
And if you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.